buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I hope your Saturday is bright and sunny and shiny. And I hope that you are working on your to-do list and that you'll be done by noon. And if that's not good enough for you, I just hope that the sun shines on you for the rest of the weekend and the rest of the week. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here talking about your car and your car problems. The name of the show is Under the Hood, 602-508-0960. If you have a question about your car, now's the time to do it, just because the lines kind of stack up. And one of the questions I'm going to ask you, and there's a method to my madness, is if the throttle were to stick on your car, what would you do? Now, you only get one guess. You can't throw 20 at me. You get one guess, 602-508-0960. Because we're going to argue about that there's only one good reason. So that's the reason why we're going to talk about that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop at 38th Avenue in Indian School. Larry Harker's is a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service, and maintenance in the Phoenix area. If you live anywhere south of Camelback, west of the I-17, you really should look up Larry Harker's Auto. I don't have any other shops in that area, south of Camelback, west of the I-17, and Larry Harker's Automotive Repair holds that area down right. And through the grace of God, Bob and Ellen, who own Larry Harker's Autos, are sitting here next to me. Hello, Bob.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And the horses are still good?
The horse is great.
Okay, all right. Bob, what do you think about that horse?
I would like to come back as that horse. My second life.
Do you get a lot of mail order stuff for horse stuff like psyllium and brushes and bits and rings?
No, Ellen kind of hides that.
I keep it away from him. Yep. Nope.
I do the same thing. Yeah. I do the same thing.
Peace in the family.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I wanted to touch a couple bases, and then we're going to take car questions. Honda's recalling nearly 46,000 Odyssey minivans because the rear doors can fail on people unexpectedly, and so I think what's happening is they're collapsing and hitting them in the head. The problem affects minivans from 2008 to 2009 with power lift gates. The gas trucks can leak that support the lift gates, and that could cause unexpected injuries. It's already caused two minor injuries, and the company will replace both power lift gate struts for free. So if you have a 2008 or 2009 Honda Odyssey, more than likely you're involved in that recall. I've got something else here that's kind of, here's something, Bob. I'm going to test you real quick here.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Some 2009-2011 Audi models can display a low oil warning. And the problem will be due to a faulty
sending unit.
Sending unit. Ellen?
I think sending unit.
You're not going to believe this. But the problem has been traced to a faulty hood contact switch.
Oh, no.
A hood contact switch. Now, what is the semblance there other than
one
computer?
One has to do with the other.
Exactly. How are you going to sell that to your customer? I can fix that low oil light. But I have to replace the hood switch.
Is that the new grounding circuit for this?
Or I don't know. I don't know. The hood must remain open for at least 30 seconds to reset the message to be performed. You can't do it through the DIS because the hood is not recognized as being part of the circuit.
I wouldn't recognize it either.
Okay, here's another one for you, all right? This applies to 2009 Genesis, Tiburon, Sonata, Tucson, Entourage, Elantras. The vehicle alarm system may intermittently sound due to...
Wow. Don't have an answer for that one.
Okay. Now, if the alarm is going to intermittently sound, what causes the alarm to go off?
Talking about the horn system?
The horn system, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be the horn contact in the steering column.
Which is, a lot of GMs have that problem, yeah. Okay? But usually it's when they open the doors and the courtesy lights come on.
On the switches.
On the switches. So you normally would think that it'd be one of the door switches. Mm-hmm. The vehicle alarm system may intermittently sound due to the light contact of the hood switch pad to the hood switch.
Oh, no. My goodness.
So it's the hood switch.
So two hood things on a Hyundai and on an Audi, two hood things that you'd say to yourself, what sense is there then? Okay.
Between the hood's acting up and the tailgate's
falling,
we've got
caller Bob.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bob, you hang on for a minute because we're going to talk just a little bit more. Okay, this wads up my underwear. Okay? I just want you to know that. This wads up my drawers. He takes it in to a place that does parking lot diagnosis. Okay? It's a auto parts store. And you come in and they plug in their little thingy hooper and they tell you that the code typically means this. But really what they're telling you is that the problem is in Arizona, but nobody knows what city, what street, what number, what zip code. So he takes his battery in there and they say, AutoZone says that it's only 44% charged, and he wouldn't warranty the battery because it tests good. Does that strike you as being strange?
Yeah, something's not charging the battery, or we've got a battery that's not taking the charge.
Yeah, how can it be good at 44% charged? Aren't we supposed to charge them up before we test them?
Definitely.
Aren't we? Okay. Then he says, the salesperson tried to tell me the alternator only charges enough to supply power to all the circuits in the car that are on when the engine is running, and very little bit goes to the battery. He says the battery will never be at 100% charged. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, now we know why we're in the auto repair business and not in the plug it in and give you an answer.
Folks, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, this is assuming he is representing what he was told, right? But he wrote the thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The alternator is the flood that fills the lake, and the battery is the lake. And so as you use your air conditioning and all your electrical stuff, we drain the lake, but the alternator fills it back up. And the lake is the battery. That's all there is to it. So it's and then the battery is never at full percent charge. Okay, have you seen those charts where they talk about what percentage of the battery based on voltage?
Yeah.
Okay, so I give him this chart, a state of charge. At 12.6, your battery is 100% charged. At 12.6, but as it goes down, 12.06, or call it just 12 flat, is 50%. But there's nothing in here that says 44%, but 11.9 is 40%. The idea is it's 44% charge, which means it had to be under 12 volts, but he said the battery was fine.
Yeah.
That makes no sense at all, folks. You get, and here's what he did. He admits, I didn't pay for that diagnosis. And I said, well, I'm glad, because they took advantage of it. Here's my answer. Get the battery over 12.6 and then test it under a load. Check the CCA rating compared to what the tag says. Let it sit for 24 hours and make sure it uses no voltage or drops in voltage. And then we test the alternator at idle at 1,500 RPM. We look at the three diodes, and then we apply a load to make sure the battery doesn't fall below 9.6. And all of that costs at most shops what?
We charge $46.
And you know what I said to him? 25 to 50. Okay. You see what I'm saying? For $25 to $50 at most shops, and we're actually $55, I left myself out of there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the kind of things that we've got. But the question to you folks is 602-508-0960 is, what exactly do you do if the throttle were to stick on your car? And Bob, good morning to you. If you have a car question, we'll take it. Or if you want to guess on our question, you can do that.
I would put the car in neutral.
Okay. What do you think?
I would have to start with that, yes, yeah. So you don't have a runaway car and trying to overcome it.
I hate it when they guess the first time. I hate that. Bob, you're exactly right.
All right. Here's my question.
Okay.
My mom bought a 2012 Toyota Corolla, and she's got the free maintenance program through the dealer, okay. And they're not doing the first oil change for 10,000 miles with Toyota 0W20.
Yes, sir.
And they're doing all the oil change every year or 10,000 miles. And if someone's concerned with longevity, because their last Toyota lasted 202,000 miles, you think they're doing that for longevity or just to lower the maintenance interval?
No, no, I'm going to agree with them, and I'll tell you why. First of all, there's three kinds of oil, a conventional, a semi-synthetic, and a full synthetic. The 020 is state-of-the-art. It has the consistency of water. And I want you to put your two hands together in front of you like you're praying, okay? I want you to rub your hands together as fast as you can. Your hand is going to get warm. And we want sewing machine oil to get in there between the two palms of your hand. We want it to lubricate. We want it to flow all the way through the joint. We want it to carry the heat and the trash away. Now, let me ask you something. Would you try peanut butter, or would you rather have sewing machine oil when you're trying to get into that joint and cool it off and provide lubrication and carry the trash away? And the answer is the full blood synthetics, the 020s, accomplish that goal. It's a tough thing for people to swallow. Mercedes is going twice that long. There's some Mercedes out there that are 18,000 miles. So those are the things that we are up against, but I want to tell you, as long as you use, first of all, you can go from conventional to synthetic anytime you want because your engine doesn't know the difference. The difference between synthetic and conventional oil is how and when you drain it. Conventional is 3,000 to 4,000 miles. Semi-synthetic is 6,000 to 7,500 miles. Full synthetic, you can go 10,000 miles on any car that doesn't use oil. So in this particular case, I'm going to agree with Toyota, and that's an acceptable thing for you to do. That doesn't prevent you from doing a 5,000-mile service, but that oil will last that long. Here's the problem I do have. They didn't tell you to check your oil. Now, Bob, that Corolla is going to hold 4 quarts of oil. After 5,000 miles, after 3,000 miles, is it going to be low on oil?
I wouldn't think so. You know, okay. You should be in good shape.
Okay. When is it going to be a quart low?
You shouldn't actually 1 minute. Using any oil for at least 8,000 to 10,000 miles.
Okay, but if you let them believe that they're going to go 10,000 miles, when they get to 20 and 30, because most cars that we service at 3,000 are a half a quart low, so by the time you get to 10, maybe you've lost 2 quarts. That's 50% of the oil. So if you're not going to check your oil, it's not good to put somebody in a 10,000 mile range because they're going to be really low at the time due.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem we're seeing, is that you miss out on the maintenance lookover, checking airs, tire pressures, different other fluid levels to catch a problem before it becomes a problem, waiting that long.
And you bring up a great point is that will the rest of the car go without
seconds.
Checking?
Without looking.
All right. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Myself, Bob, and Ellen from Larry Harker's Auto are here at your service, 602-508-0960.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't
welcome
good.
Back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and the name of this show is Under the Hood here on 960 The Patriot, KKNT. And we're here at your service. If you have a car question, we'd like you to call us, 602-508-0960. My guests are Bob and Ellen from Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. They've been on my list for many, many, many years, I think 10 or more. And they've been a great shop, one that takes absolutely no focus from me, which makes me very happy. We've got Arizona Community Church. Their 14th annual Motorsports Day is next week from 9 to 1. They're on Rural Road in Tempe, just south of Warner. So if you want to go to a nice hot rod show, it is really a great place to go. They've got 450 cars that are entered. And again, that's on Rural Roads south of Warner. The easiest way from anywhere to the valley is come down the 101 or the 10, grab Warner Road, go to Rural, and then head south. But it's a great place to go. I asked a question a few minutes ago about what do you do with a stuck throttle. And let me tell you the background. A young girl and her mother come to Phoenix and pick up their new Ford Escape. Not their new Ford, but new to them. It's a 2002. They're on their way back up to Payson. The story, according to the newspaper and according to the police officers I've talked to, is daughter calls mom and says the throttle's stuck. So mom is in front of daughter, and so mom pulls over to see daughter speed by. Mom calls ahead to the Payson Police Department, and they're scrambling policemen to help guide her through town. The young 16-year-old girl doesn't make it, And right outside the Walmart, she hits two cars. She tries to squeeze in between two cars. She hits both of them. It throws the car, her car, into a clockwise turn, and then she rolls and she dies as a result of that. Mm. Now, there's lots of things you can do, but by far the best thing is to just simply put it in neutral. Now, if I put, what year car did you drive here?
07.
Okay, if I put the throttle to the floor, will that motor blow up?
No.
How come?
Because it has a computer that controls the
exactly.
speed.
Exactly. Anything from 96 and newer, the computer won't let the motor blow up. Mm-hmm. And what do you care anyway? So you've got a throttle stuck. Maybe the throttle, and there's something else you should know. You cannot reach down and pull the throttle up because it's a cable, and when the throttle's stuck, there's slack in the cable. So don't ever reach down to pull the throttle up because that'll never work. Just if you have a column shifter. Now, what happens if I'm kind of panicky and it's in drive and I shove it real hard upwards? Am I going to hit reverse?
No.
No, because there's a lock there. There's a detent there.
Keep you out of it.
Now, will the computer let you shift into reverse at 70 miles an hour?
Let's hope not.
It doesn't.
I have a question.
Okay.
You know, I've heard people say just turn off the key.
Okay.
You know.
Why not?
Yeah.
You lose your power steering and your power brakes if you turn the key off. Now, you can't lock the steering wheel when you turn the key off, but people are scared of that. Mm-hmm. They're scared that if I turn off the key, it'll lock the steering. But if you throw it into neutral, the problem is done. Mm-hmm. You now have power steering and brake, and you stop the car. In this case, this young lady was on the brake so hard that all four rotors are blue. Smoke was pouring from the car. She didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
God bless her, she never had a chance. So I was up looking at the car yesterday, and there is no question the throttle is stuck. And it wasn't because of a mat underneath the throttle, as the people with Toyotas suggested that would happen. And so we're going to figure out what the throttle is.
We've got caller Tom.
And we've also got the black box data off of it, so that will help us, we think, a little bit. Anyway, let's go to Tom and find out how we can help Tom. Bob and Ellen are here from Larry Harker's Auto. Tom, how can we help you today?
Yeah, I'd like to know, when's the best time to catch you down at the shop? I got to bring my wife's car in and get it checked over.
Well, where do you live?
Gilbert.
Okay. It's really hard to catch you at the shop because I have so many other responsibilities. Next week, I'm going to be down at the Superior Court building for a couple of days from early morning till late at night. And then I'm also going to be gone Tuesday because I'm going to go work some cows. But can I offer you my twin brother?
Sure.
Okay. My general manager and my shop foreman is Eddie Caruso.
Okay.
When you come in, Eddie will be happy to talk with you and take a ride with you and talk with you however you want. And Eddie is slightly smarter than I am.
Well, that's good. Then I'll talk to him.
Okay. And if that doesn't work, then talk to my wife. She thinks she's real smart. But
you have to go home tonight.
I know. I know. But, you know, I've teased her all of her life. Oh, boy. I'll get in trouble for that one.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
How do you know when it's time to get rid of a car?
How about you? When do you get rid of your cars?
I usually drive them 10 years or 100,000 miles with the old story, but anymore with these cars going, the mileage you get out of them, and you don't have any problem with the rust down here.
Okay. All right. Bob, when do you get rid of your cars?
I basically, when the question comes up to customers that ask me this, it's a case where you use what your cost of repairs are accumulating to, because in the past I can almost guarantee you the cost of repair does not exceed the cost of replacing it with a new car. If you can afford a new car and that's what your desire, by all means go buy the new car. But if you start taking your average repair or even a yearly cost of repairs and amortize that over 12 months and you start looking at it, you're going to find that car is treating you pretty decent. 100,000 miles is nothing on these new cars.
Yeah, I agree.
If you don't see 200,000 miles with normal maintenance, and the key to it is to buy a vehicle and maintain it. We used to, back in the 60s when I started in this business, it was a case of you waited until it broke and then you fixed it. Now, if you maintain a car, these cars will treat you really well.
And it's and to follow up what you said, let me ask you this. People that bring in bad motors have done one of what to their car? What have they done to their car?
90% is lack of maintenance.
Okay.
We see it all the time.
But give me the specific portion of it. Cooling system?
Cooling systems.
Absolutely.
Everybody thinks that oil changes is the only maintenance that you need to do, yeah. And that's just a small portion of it.
Of all the motors that we change, 90% of them have been overheated, and 10% of them have been run low on oil. Both maintenance issues. And I want to chime in real quick before we have, because we have to take a break here in just another minute and a half. But I get rid of a car when, like you said, the cost exceeds, I mean, if you're paying $500 a month for the cost of the car, you can buy a new truck for $500 a month. Mm-hmm. But the beginning of the end is always oil consumption. Would you agree?
I agree.
So when you start using oil, whether it's leaking oil or blowing blue smoke out the tailpipe, when you start putting a quart in at 500 miles or 700 miles, that motor, that's the beginning of the end. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take dovetail off what you just said.
One minute.
I tell folks that I can replace your engine. I can replace your transmission. I can replace the three big things, engines, transmission, and air conditioning system, for the price of the sales tax on a new car.
I agree.
I can't do all three, but I can do two of the three.
Can I say something real quick? We had a customer that had a truck that had 500,000 miles. He put his first transmission in it. And I asked him, I said, well, what have you done to maintain it? He said, or what have you done so you've gone this long with all, you know, running real good? And he said, just done all the maintenance, done all the maintenance.
And I'm going to leave you with a joke. If I live to be 100, you know that they're always going to ask you what it is that you attribute your longevity to. And I've figured out what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I never washed my hands after I went to the bathroom. All righty, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Bob, Ellen, and Mark at your service right here on 960 The Patriot. Hey, Mark.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're Bob and Ellen are here from Larry Harker's Auto, and my name is Mark Salem. I'm the host, and Bob is the co-pilot, and so is Ellen. And we're here, too, at your service if you'd like to ask us a car question about your car. Maybe you got an estimate from somebody, and you're not quite sure why you need this. Bob and I and Ellen are pretty good at symptom-driven evidence. So if they say that you need lower ball joints, Bob and I know that the lower ball joints typically would wear the inside of one or both of the front tires. So we could give you that kind of information, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on both domestic and import, both gas and diesel. Kurtz is located at I-17 Bell Road in Phoenix, and since 1992, they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. There's a couple of shops up there on I-17 and Bell, but Kurtz is certainly one of them that I recommend if you don't have a shop already. Now, folks, if you've got a shop and you've had some up and downs with the shop and they know you by name and they're treating you nice, you should stay there. But if you don't have a shop, go to marksalem.com, and I've got one in your geographical area. So when it comes to car repair, right now it's kind of slow because if the car made it through the summer, it's going to coast through the fall.
Yeah, very, very definitely. It's a case where, yeah, this time of the year, people
after
are
Ralph,
recovering
we have Mimi.
From Christmas holidays and heading for taxes. And so it's a little bit on the slow side, but we've been fortunate. So far this year, we've been quite busy.
Good. Good for you.
Nice.
Good for you. Is Ellen helping you, or is she just dragging you down?
Just ask them what happens when I go to the bank. Ask our employees, our mechanics. I'll tell you. Don't go. Don't go.
Panic.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's take a call. Ralph, you're up first. Ralph, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Good morning to you, sir. Question. It's a comparison of buying a new car versus keeping my old car and keeping my job versus the price of gasoline to run it. Okay?
Okay.
The vehicle is in good shape still. I got 178,000 miles on it. The problem is that I get low mileage and I travel 110 miles round trip per day.
Okay.
To go to work. Now, I figured the gas would cost me about $145 a week.
Okay. And let me ask you, what do you hope to get better than that? Give me a number what you're going to get better than that.
Well, I figured $150 a week would be right around $400-something a month. That would be equal to a new car payment with a smaller vehicle. Right now I'm driving a pickup truck.
Okay. What kind of mileage are you getting right now?
I'm getting right around about 15 on my Dodge 4x4.
Okay, we're going to, just for number's sake here, Bob, we're going to use 400 miles a month. And you're getting, what, 15 on your truck?
Yes.
Okay, so if you get 15 miles to the gallon and 400 miles, then you would divide 400 by 15 and tell you how many gallons. But if you got 5 more miles per gallon and you went from 15 to 20, then you would use less fuel. I'm going to guess probably about 10, 12, 15 gallons a month less. Okay. And so now, if it's 15 gallons a month, then I don't have a calculator, or I'd be much better. But if you'll email me this, I'll do the math for you. I think that $15 at $4 a gallon is $60. It's a long way away from that $600 that you're talking about. Now, you have to overcome the tax and the fees associated with that car as well.
Right.
And I got to tell you something. Let me turn the question around for you. If I owned your car, would you rent your car from me for $200 a month and I take care of all the maintenance?
No.
You wouldn't? $200 a month and I take care of the maintenance? Okay.
No.
Okay. And my point is this. Any car in the world's worth $200 a month to drive for a month.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to spend $200 a month on your car. Because that's $1,200. That's $2,400 a year. So $2,400 a year is a lot of money.
Right.
So if you look at how much you spend a year and you divide it by the 12 months, you might be driving that car for $87 a month.
1 minute.
Or $50 a month. You see my point?
Right.
I don't care if you buy a new one or an old one, but here's how I do it. Round figures. I bought my truck for $40. It's worth $20 today, so I've lost $20,000. I divide the $20,000 by 10 years I've already driven it, so that's $2,000 a year. That, and then I divide that by 12 months, and I'm at about $188 a month. When I get below $150 a month, I'm out of the truck. I'm going to trade it in and get a new one.
Right.
But the $150 a month is just my number. That's what I want.
Right.
So you bring up a good point, but I want to remind you, on a new car truck, you're going to spend somewhere between $2,000 and $4,500 for non-recoverable money for sales tax and license and all that other kind of stuff, not to mention the insurance bump for a new vehicle. So Mimi, you stay here. Mimi, if you would, please, and I'm going to get you right after this quick break. I'm Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, and we're talking about cars. We'd like you to join us.
I'm really...
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm your host here on Under the Hood of 960 The Patriot, KKNT, 960 AM. If you'd like to join us, you certainly can. 602-508-0960, 508-0960. Hey, Ralph, if you'll email me at mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, I'll send you back a list of information I need. And then I'll do the math for you on the 15 miles to the gallon versus 20 miles to the gallon and what that annual cost is going to be, because I think that annual cost is going to be really insignificant. But I'll tell you what, it's already a 25% increase in fuel economy, so that should translate to a 25% reduction in your fuel cost. But we're not sure. Bob and I have been hashing this out for you, so that's the hard part about it. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with the transmission, Bob or Greg at Quality Transmission in Tempe is who you need to call. They have many, many years of experience. They don't guess with your money, and they know how to repair transmissions. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, just north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive, and you can tell them that Mark sent you. Alrighty, Mimi, we're to you, and thank you very much for holding. How can we help you?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, I just went outside, kneeled down on the driveway underneath the front of my little 1996 Nissan 200SX.
Okay.
And it's had a drip. It's been probably I'm thinking going on 2 years now. It drips a little something underneath, right up near the front, practically. You know, the radiator's right there, isn't
okay.
it, in the front?
Yeah.
But it's a reddish-brown, and I've put things in it, and I've had people look at it, and they can't figure out what's going on, and I put that, you know, that gooey stopped stuff uh-huh. in it and everything, and let's see, where does that go? Is that for, that's not for the brakes. What's that for? The transmission?
Well, the brown fluid could be rusty radiator water. It could be engine oil, or it could be transmission fluid. But if you were to wipe that up with a Kleenex, a white Kleenex, mm-hmm. that would bring out the color, because the color's the most important part. Let me ask you this. Does it seep into the concrete, and all you see is the shadow of a spot, or is it above the concrete when you pick it up, or when you see it?
Well, right now, in fact, I wiped it on a Kleenex, and it is like a kind of a reddish-brown. It's right now, it's right on top. Now, if I go out in a couple days, it's gone down into the concrete.
Okay. See, most of the time, the oil stays above the concrete to some extent, and water, anything water-based, will seep into and absorb into the concrete. Ellen, if this is a front counter, go ahead.
Well, actually, I would ask if it's oil or if it's water coolant. And if it's coolant, we would pressurize. If we can't tell where it's coming from, usually if we can look, there's no charge. But if we have to pressurize it, we have a fee that, you know, we're going to have to go a little bit farther. It's going to cost you this, and that's going to tell us. We're going to pressurize it and find out where exactly is it, you know, from the radiator. Is it a hose? I mean, there's a lot of things in that area where it could be leaking from. So,
what about if Mimi did this? If she took it into the shop the night before, knowing full well, she has to know really well that it's going to leak overnight, then the shop gets to see the leak in the next morning. Is that beneficial?
That helps sometimes, but it depends on, it's like water on a roof is what I generally say. We don't know where it originated, if it's all over everything. So mm-hmm. we like to run the final test. I mean, would you agree, Bob, that, you know, just to find out for sure where it's at. If we could tell, of course, we'll say, okay, this is what is, this is how much. But if we don't know for sure, then mm-hmm. we don't want to guess.
What's a pressure test cost?
$46.
Okay,
for us,
and
yeah.
and a cooling, and that's called a cooling system checkout.
Test, uh-huh.
Okay, what he's talking about is he's going to take the radiator cap off. He's going to hook a pump, an air pump, to the neck of the radiator. He's going to look at your cap, and it says 12 pounds of pressure maximum. And he's going to put 13 in it, and then we're going to see where it's leaking, because it's going to be squirting where it's leaking. And so Bob then looks and sees, well, does this clamp need to be tightened, or have we busted a seam on the radiator, or is the water pump leaking? Now, it may very well hold pressure, and if it holds pressure for 10 minutes at 13 pounds, what does that tell you, Bob?
Well, one of the problems we see is water pumps have a tendency to leak as it sets over a period of time and cools mm-hmm. down, won't leak once it's warmed up or under high pressure. So there's different variables to finding leaks. If it happens to be an oil leak, we also use a yellow dye that goes into the transmissions or engines, that it comes out a bright fluorescent yellow, so we can pinpoint where it's coming from. So trying to find leaks, not knowing specifically where or what it is, we can use the dye on different oils to find leaks, pressurizing cooling systems, or like Mark was saying, just let it set and be cool under the same condition to find the problem.
And so we've got so many variables here. If it's engine oil, you put your dye in the engine oil, right?
Right.
And then they come back when?
Depending on how big of a leak it is, but we tell everybody to come back in a couple of days, and we'll take another look. If we don't see anything at that point, come back in a week.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the sad part about leaks, is it has to leak it before we can find it.
But with the yellow dye, the fluorescent dye, you can actually see where it starts and ends.
Ends, right.
Okay.
It takes
now,
the guess out of it.
It would just be the same. Is Mimi, is your car an automatic transmission?
It's standard.
Okay, so we can pretty much eliminate a transmission leak, mm-hmm. but we can't eliminate a power
That's
steering
right.
leak. So Bob, you could put it in this same dye in the power steering system,
right.
and you could follow that as well.
Right.
And then the cooling system, we wouldn't use dye, because typically we're going to pick it up, and if the water pump's leaking, it's that 200SX, I think
should've
it's got a belt.
Residue, yeah.
yeah, it should have left some residue. Mm-hmm. So Mimi, I think the answer is Bob and I will agree that you're going to spend somewhere between $45 and $65 initially for just to look and see what we can see. But it's almost always going to necessitate a return trip so that we can look at it with special lights. We have glasses on that makes us look like moon Martians. And we have this special light that lights up the dye in your oil. But that would be the easiest thing to do, is let's find out exactly which leak you're talking about, and then we can bid the repair.
Well, I know that at one point someone told me that my hoses, or a hose, needed replaced. So maybe that's a possibility, I think, that you mentioned, right?
Yeah, and that's an easy one. That's kind of the low end of that range I gave you. That's $45 or so to pressure test it and find it. And if it truly is a hose that's leaking, there's going to be a lot of residue around the hose. Wouldn't you agree, mm-hmm. Bob?
Yeah, generally you'll build up a calcium buildup around it, too.
Yeah, and then we'll be able to see that pretty easy.
Okay, I have a real quick cosmetic question.
Okay.
Can you answer that?
Sure.
As I mentioned, it's 96, and it's a silver color. Now, the clear coat on part of the car, I don't know. I got it at a, when they, not foreclosure, when they bring the cars back from people. What's that called?
Yeah, well, they've repossessed the car.
Yes, and I think it might have been in an accident or something. But anyway, a portion of the car, the clear coat has worn, not the whole car, just like on the side, on the two doors, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I don't remember. I'd have to go look at the front fenders. But anyway, that's a 96, and I go back and forth and back and forth. Should I get it painted? Should I not? And I'm thinking Blue Book is like, what, $1,200 or $1,500 or something, right. $100 on that car.
Okay.
So is it really worth it?
Well, you don't know because you don't know how much they can do. What happens if they said to you, I can sand those down with some really fine sandpaper and remove lots of that old clear coat and I won't go through the paint and I can make it look better for $100? Would you do it?
Sure.
Okay, because I don't know the answer. Now, what part of town do you live in? Give me.
I'm in Mesa.
Okay, I have two great shops out in Mesa. And one of them is called Envision Auto Body and one of them is called Custom Coach Works.
Okay.
They are going to talk with you about this for free. So you just drive up and say, look here, and say, what would you normally do to fix this? And I'll tell you what they're going to say. They say, we're going to take all the paint off and repaint it. And you say, okay, I don't want to do that. Is there anything between doing nothing and just making it better? And then that's where you'll get into the conversation that you want to have. Okay?
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mimi.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. If you need a good body shop and you're on the north side of town, I want to recommend Phoenix Body Works. Greg May, the owner, will be your advocate if you have an insurance claim. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free and insurance company friendly. They know how to work with your insurance company, and they will work with them. They'll put your car back together the right way, on time, and at an affordable price with quality parts. It's important to repair your vehicle to its pre-accident condition. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for those of you in the North Valley for several years, and I've heard nothing but compliments from their customers, our customers. I'm proud to have them on my best car repair shop list that's available at marksalem.com. They're at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, and you can reach them Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday they're open the first half of the day, 623-582-1434. 623-582-1434. Bob, are you doing any diesel work at all, or for the time being, are you?
Yeah, no, we're back into the diesels now.
Okay.
The advantage we also have is the fact with the diesels, as they become newer, they're more computer-oriented, mm-hmm. much easier to diagnose, much easier to repair. But yeah, we were out of it for just a short time, but we're back into it.
And of all the three diesels, the Cummins, the Ford, and the GM, which one do you work the most on?
Work on the Fords the most.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And by what relationship? Just shoot me a ballpark figure. Is the Ford 30%, 40%, 50% of your work? And then give me the other percentages.
Yeah, we're probably looking at about 50% on the Fords, probably 30% on the Chrysler products, okay. and then
the Duramax?
Duramax.
Are you not saying that just to make me feel good, are you?
No.
Okay.
Just the way it is.
And I agree with you. Now, if a guy wants a diesel truck and he wants to keep it forever, which one are you going to tell him of those three to buy?
I'd have to go with the Duramax. It's seems to hang in there.
And I'm going to tease you because I would go with that Cummins.
The Cummins.
If you want something to last forever, you got to buy the Cummins. It doesn't overheat. Not that the Duramax does anymore. Mm-hmm. It just has all the different attributes of lasting a long, long time. Now, the Duramax, the V8 Duramax, is second in my choice. Okay, if you want something with pretty creature comforts, If you want a Purdy truck, which one are you going to send them to?
Well, I don't have an answer for that one.
Okay.
I still stay with
Tony
the Duramax.
Hanging in there.
Okay. All right. I would send him to that Ford leathered up interior. That it's called something King's Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
The Ford King's Ranch. Now, I would say you got what you got underneath the hood, but if you want creature comforts, that's beautiful. Let's go to Tony real quick. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. Or this is Tony, Mark.
Okay.
Got a question. I got a CRV, a 2011, and I'm looking at a platinum boost kit to put on the vacuum line. I want to get your thoughts on that.
I think if you're trying to get better fuel economy for $29.95, I will guarantee you that you're going to get a third better fuel economy, and you don't have to buy the platinum.
What do you do?
I'm going to hook up two Buick horns underneath your seat to the brake light pedal, and every time you press the brake, it's going to blow those horns at you, and you'll learn how to anticipate traffic, and you'll learn how to drive and coast a lot, and you'll learn how to get great fuel economy because it has to do with your brake pedal, not your gas pedal. But as far as those platinums is concerned, I've looked at them. I do not buy them. I do not recommend them. I think they're doing nothing but taking money out of your pocket and putting it in theirs. Bob and Ellen, it's been a pleasure to have you here
today.
Thank
you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And folks, really and truly, if you're south of Camelback and you're west of I-17, you couldn't find a nicer couple. And I think it's important to know that husband and wife teams dominate the management of many of the shops on my list, and there's something to be said for a husband and wife working together. And inevitably, one of them is the, my wife is Snow White, and they call me a bad name. And they call me Jack the Ripper is a nice way to say who I am.
1 minute.
But aside from all of that, that's something that's been kind of special for me, because just like you guys, and when Renee goes to the bank, I'll call her and say, can you pick up lunch on your way back?
Sounds familiar.
And when you start, and you count, I count on Renee to answer the phones and help me with the appointments. I count on Renee to do the books and to make sure that the checkbook is in order and to pay the bills, and probably like you to a large extent.
And hold my hand when I'm feeling bad.
Yes, yeah. And when my day's really going bad, keep the gun, the staple gun away from my temple. Oh, boy. Well, that's what it's all about. But if you're looking for a good shop, here's how you go. MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com, and click on the best car repair shops. Mechanical, transmission, there's paint and body, there's diesel shops, everything you can imagine, and you can't go wrong. My guarantee is in writing. That's MarkSalem.com. God bless you. Wear your seatbelt, and I'll see you next Saturday here at 10.